talking about the law, because we can't understand our need for the offerings or for grace or mercy if we don't know the law. And so let's, I want to show some stuff to you. Let's, everybody get a Bible.
Thank you, brother.
Go to Matthew 5.
I realized yesterday what kind of, I have this like definite law about, I get really caught in the images, you know, and definitions, and I had this long talk with Barbara by the end of the day. It's like, no, you can't paint unless you wash the dishes, wash the clothes, clean up the carpet, stuff off the carpet, and then you can. You know what I mean? It's like I have these like little like, no, you can't go there until you, you know, you can't eat your dessert until you, I mean, it's like these little like tapes in my head. I mean, I started to realize I had them like for my job, for my, you know, for at home, at housework, for like leisure time, for like stable, for, I mean, it's like, how do I talk to somebody, you know, I can't, you know, it's like, I'm just so overwhelmed by the end of the day. That was my day off. That's how I spent my day off yesterday.
Well, just, special law for the day off.
You know, I had ideas for what I wanted my day off to be.
Well, that experience of what, that's what happens when we don't know the law. Then we become a law unto ourselves, and we make up rules of behavior that we will fail at so that we can get redeemed by our own self.
I don't get that, Mark. That's Why would you make up rules that you will fail at rather than making rules you would succeed at?
Because it is. You are shame-based, and therefore you cannot succeed. There's no one in the world that has succeeded in their own mind. And until you know that, then you will have the propensity to be in envy of somebody. And the reason you do it is the shame is endemic to you. And no matter how talented and how intellectual and how lucky you are, you cannot take success. And so you create situations in which you feel bad, and then your feeling bad becomes your redemption. It proves your worth, and it is a sick system. You know, Harry could go for the rest of his life and he would not believe that at the core he had to fail. But you have to fail. You can never be successful. You can never be at peace. You can never be at rest. And even the small little laws that we make for ourselves, you can't meet those standards. But my point to you, the only way you're going to get rid of them and see something different is to see the law.
That's why some guys just make even more and more and more money. Even though they make a million, they think, well, now I got to make five. If I make five, I got to make ten. They still a failure in their own mind.
Well, I know some very, very wealthy people. I mean, they're miserable. Okay, I want us to put aside all of our own definitions of what we think law is. Can we do that? Swipe them all away. And I want us to try to begin to understand what God's law is. That's the only way we're going to overcome this. It's like if you're in a municipality and the city passes a law that's against the county, I mean, that isn't in the county system, then the city law is none effect because the county law supersedes. If the county passes a law that isn't in, that doesn't meet the standards of the state law, then the county law goes away because the state law has precedence. Now, in a republic, to the republic for which it stands, in a republic, that's supposed to be the end, except for a very limited number of issues. But the way America has become now, the state can't have the laws. The federal takes precedence. Okay, what I want you to see is you each have little municipal, little temple laws inside you, right? You've created them by your own little stuff. Your little, all of our little stuff.
You just make up the rules.
Right. Our little parents and our little board of elders and little snakes. The snakes have a bunch of little rules in your little temple. Can we get that straight?
Yes.
Yeah. It's really bad when you say something and you heard it, you know, that's what your mother used to say. Really sick me. You stop and think and you go, oh gosh, it's bad.
Right, right.
That's so bad.
Anyway,
and that's
really,
the only reason you're saying it. That's what's so bad is it's because
you can't
your mother
it
said it.
Yeah, but
what
really gets
sense
you is
when
you
says
say,
why,
when you see your kid say what your grandmother said.
Yeah, well, they say it to their dolls, or, you know, their friends. You're playing with their friends, and it's like, oh, my God.
Okay. So we got all the little temples, all the little municipalities in here. These are little cities. They got 70 people. Some of you have a little legion in there, but a little municipality in there.
Some people have a red light district.
And it's like, we got to do something. We got to see a precedent. All right. So first of all, let's go back to what we looked at the other night. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. All right. So can you see from that Christ did not come? If you, in your Christianity, believed that this was the old, and now we're in a new, and we're not really sure what the new is, you're wrong. The law is still in effect. Can't ever not be in effect. You got it? Everybody can accept that?
There's a whole bunch of people who don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's really preached.
Well, okay. But you understand it says it.
Yeah.
Jesus said it. It's in the red. And if you got one of the red letter Bibles, it's red. Okay.
Well, it says till all be fulfilled. That's the deal. You just fulfill it. So. By one way.
All right, well, you can leave that if you want. Okay, let's go now to Romans 7. No, let's not go to Romans 7. Let's go to James chapter 2. Right after Hebrews. Verse 8, chapter 2, 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, anybody know what that means? Pay special attention to different people or don't pay attention to some people. You rank people. Got it? But if you rank people, put people in rank, have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all the law. You understand that a little bit? Now tell me about what you just said. I think you think it's true, though. That's what...
I'm right.
Okay. Let's go. Let's look at some others. Well, first of all, let's go to see where that is. Go to Deuteronomy 27. First of all, look at in verse starting in, this is the curses and the blessings. It's the curses of Mount Ebal and the blessings of Mount what?
Gerizim.
Right. So two mountains that were the entrance to the promised land. Every time it says cursed, it means you're going to die. You understand that? Death penalty. And so from verse 15 on, it's all a bunch of curses. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And on and on. Verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, when you say you don't confirm it, it means that you do not accept it as true. In other words, if you automatically say that this book, this law, was for them, then you are saying by definition that it isn't true. And so you can say you believe you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior all day, but you're under the curse. That means you'll die. Cursed be everyone that does not confirm all the words of this law to do them. You understand that? It's a principle of law, but it's kind of simple. Got it? Now let's go to Romans 7.
I got to ask this question. Did these people go around trying to do all this stuff, to keep all these laws? I mean, didn't they take this stuff serious and try to actually not do this stuff?
I don't know what you just said. Wouldn't you try to not do it? Is that what you said?
Well, I'll try to do the blessed and try not to do the curse.
Well, the ones that were idiots did. The ones that were spiritual, the ones that heard the gospel, saw Christ in every one of the sacrifices, and they were free. They saw they died 15 times a day. And therefore, they were called blameless, because they saw Christ in the sacrifices.
So you're saying that as they made the offerings, or gave the offerings, presented the offerings, or whatever,
they saw Messiah.
They saw that as the Messiah.
Yeah.
How would they know by reading in these parts that Christ was going to fulfill that?
You can't know it by reading it, because they didn't even have this part. Yeah. It was illegal to write it down.
But I was wondering if they thought that.
Sure. It says they did throughout it. It says that Abraham, the gospel was preached unto Abraham. It says that Isaac saw his day. It says that Isaiah saw it throughout the scriptures.
So it's sort of like an experientially, they knew these things to be true, and so they passed it on, you know, they would pass it on to their kids, or they would...
No, it was the law was written, but the general public couldn't read it.
Oh, it was like talking about with Abraham. Because there wasn't anything written then about it, right?
Not sure there was.
Well, that's like just the secret Zohar stuff.
Well, I mean, it's just... All right, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion or is in force over a man as long as he liveth. Understand that? The law is enforced as long as the man lives. Now let's look at something else. You can't denigrate it with this, but look at this. In verse 9, chapter 7, 9. For I was alive without the law once. Praise God, I was alive without the law. This was the most boring book. I used to love to just get in arguments with Christians. I thought they were the goofiest things that ever walked the face of the earth. I used to have all kinds of fun with them. I think some of you remember, I was a hypnotist. And I'd especially in that, we had this, the nerd of the nerds, Ronald Nearing from West Covina, California. And he got selected into this unit. The rest of the people I thought were really cool. And then we had this nerd. And so I was always doing stuff to him. Like, he was always praying for me. Or acting like he was praying for me. Because he really hated me. But I would always, we'd do really bad stuff to him. But one time, I have many more than once. He was a really good subject for hypnosis. And so I hypnotized him by just post-hypnotic suggestion. I gave him some word like aardvark or something like that. Every time I said aardvark, he would...
Sound like some of the things that I do.
And so, but I told him, I tell him, if we were at, you know, we may be at an embassy party in some Swazoo country. And I'd make sure I sat way away from him.
They are.
And then I'd tell him that when he didn't drink and he thought drinking was evil. And he'd make sure everybody knew how evil he thought drinking was. So I'd tell him that when he drank this water, it wouldn't be, when he drank water, it wouldn't really be water, it would be vodka. So he drank a glass of water and he'd get drunk on his ass. I mean, it act like it. And we had these Swazoo embassy parties, and I'm at the other end of the room, dying, laughing. Surprising he didn't kill me.
This is a parable.
But my point was, I was alive without the law. The idea of law was the most asinine thing. I used to say, rules are for when brains run out. And I had, fortunately, the unit I was in, we had carte blanche to do anything. So I got by with it. God's grace was there with me. Otherwise, I'd have been dead or in prison. But all of a sudden, the minute I became a believer, this makes me cry. I mean, I loved the law. And I consumed it. I studied it night and day. Then I'd see these great passages like, show thou me wondrous things out of thy law. All of those. Because I began to see that the law was spiritual. So that's what. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Once it happens, when you hear the real law, instead of the ones that you've made up for your little city, little teeny city, then sin becomes manifest. And the idea of mind talk becomes so evil to you, you can't even stand it. The idea of justifying yourself, any of these things they're impossible. You can't do them anymore because the law's purpose, well, let's read what it says. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And then you go through this process. And this is exactly what happens. Then you start thinking, aha! This law stuff is good because then it'll give me life. I'll have, just like I, you know, all my lawlessness gave me life. Now I thought the law would give me life. And the commandment for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And this is like Paul is saying, this is a huge surprise to him. My God, the law doesn't give life, it provides death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment or by the law, deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. I want you to try to imagine, as far as I know, it's the first time that anybody around heard of it. I want you to try to imagine stealth. The first time that I taught that deny yourself meant abandon yourself. Can't do it. It's impossible. I didn't mean that. That's bullshit, Ollie. Because to deny yourself, you can get by with it. You can act. Well, I'm not going to do this. So that means I will stop doing this and I'll stop doing that. But to abandon yourself, you can't fake it. But I couldn't get to that point until I knew the law, so that the law could make sin exceedingly sinful. Got it? So that's why people around here, they always hear for a long time. I tell them 1,000 times, if you ever hear me tell you what to do, you've heard wrong. What do? Well, he told me to do this. I've never told you to do squat. But you hear it. I'm going to tell Harry what to do this because he works for me. And I delight in the inward man. What? I like bugging Harry. Oh. For I know that the law is spiritual. Now, do you understand what spirit means? If I say I know the law is spiritual, it means I'm saying I know the law is eternal. It doesn't change. Okay? Can you all accept now that you might better pay attention to the law? If you offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. Does that make you a little bit nervous? Well, let's look at some death penalties. Would you like to look at some death penalties? What are death penalty scriptures?
What scripture are those listed in?
They're all over the place.
Oh, you can tell.
She made notes over here.
What did you just ask me?
I thought they were like listed in.
She wants to find the death scriptures.
Yeah, the death scriptures. They're all over everywhere?
They're all over there.
Otherwise, they would have been excised from the Bible a long time ago. They're all over the place.
The first one that comes to mind is considering a parent lightly.
What is that? Honor
thy
father and mother.
No, let's go to Exodus 20. That's what the good guys do.
Oh. I thought all those curses
were real. Well, they're all there too. We'll get to those. There's 46 of them right here, and I haven't even started yet.
This is my father.
It'd be fun if you accept the cross. Fun if you accept your death. Fun if you accept the judgment seat of Christ is happening to you now. Go to Exodus 21. Somebody read verses 15 through 17.
Mike? His children would never rebel.
That's in rebellion. It's different. It's the word.
Considering like
15.
Kalal. Remember that word that was in, if you bless, the famous one, Genesis 12:3. I will, when he talks about Abraham and his seed, he said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will bitterly execrate them that consider you lightly.
Yeah.
This is considering you lightly. So if you consider your parents lightly.
And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth
him. I smacked my mother. I knocked her across the room.
That's just terrible.
What?
That's terrible.
You know, I'm not my mother.
Yes, I do. Bitch is a sweet lady.
Wow, well, she can't believe what she used to do to me. She'd stand across the room and throw buckets of ice water.
I guarantee you deserve
it. Probably what it took.
Really? It's a miracle.
But you know what? I'm guilty of sin. I considered her lightly. I struck her. Therefore, already. And I considered my father, he was an idiot. Still consider him lightly. I'm guilty.
Like musical chairs and everybody's out in the first time.
So I'm all of a sudden, boom, I'm dead. Dead meat by the law, which is eternal. By the law, which if I break one point, I am guilty of it all. By the law, if I consider one of you more important than anyone else, or if I denigrate any one of you or anybody in the world, then I'm a respecter of persons. Therefore, I'm subject to the whole law. Therefore, right there, I'm dead meat. We just stop. Forget it. It's over. I'm dead. Now tell me, since I'm dead, all about my little rules of behavior, all my little definitions in my own little city, my little baby municipality laws. I'm dead. So what do you understand that a little bit? Tell me about your little rules of life. Tell me what you think. Tell me about your ideas. Tell me about your opinions. When the first one we read, I promise you, every single one of you are guilty. It's not striking. You didn't get to the curse. Read the rest of it.
And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death.
The word curse is that word. Kalal means to consider lightly. If you consider your mother or your father lightly, you will be put to death. Period. You understand? I don't care about the Jews. I care about you. I want every one of you to understand that you don't have a leg to stand on by any court in heaven. Every one of you considered your parents lightly. And if you are married and you've considered your mother-in-law or father-in-law lightly, then you are one flesh, you are still guilty. Now, especially somebody that has had how many wives and husbands and are manifest in this room? Until you abandon yourself, until you pick up the cross, you better stop right there. By God's law, you're guilty of a capital offense, and he's just waiting to lower the boom. It could be any second. Now, remember it said, we read in Romans 7, I write unto you that know the law, know ye not that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth? Okay, well, let's just randomly go to another one.
And the law is good because it's good in God's eyes.
The law is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. The New Testament says, all scripture, it says, what it says is all law is given by God and is good for instruction, for inspiration, for doctrine, for correction, for reproof. All right, let's go to the next one.
It's not like you can find a loophole in it. There's no loophole there.
I studied it for years. There isn't any loophole. Let's go again. First of all, is there anybody here that doubts, or is there any way you can justify yourself? I'll justify myself. It was good that I considered my dad lightly because he was a fucking weenie. Wrong.
My stepmother hit me first.
Wrong.
She hit me first.
Wrong. Tell me some basis of self-justification when you know the law. It doesn't exist. You have no grounds to stand on. First one we talked about. Okay, let's just go to the next. Let's go to, since you're Mr. Lawgiver, let's go to, well, this will be a real simple statement. Exodus 31, verse 14.
You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
Okay, to be cut off means to be killed. You understand that?
Yeah.
And if you break the Sabbath, if you break this Sabbath according to the law, you're dead. There are, in that thing alone, in the Sabbath breaking alone, there are 49 minimum. There's more minutiae about that in the Talmud than anything else. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of how you break the Sabbath. If you pick up a stick, you are dead. If you light a fire, you are dead. If you travel more than a Sabbath day's journey, you are dead. If you were cooking something and the cooking continued after you saw the three stars, you were dead. Well, I think that's a stupid law.
So is gravity. Try stepping out a window.
You understand? Doesn't matter whether some idiots in the 14th century decided that, or in the first century, they've done it so many times, in 135 or whenever it was, they changed the Sabbath, and for Christians they'd call it Sunday instead of Friday evening till Saturday evening. That's right.
It's like, you know, I make my own rules and my own laws because I know I won't die because I can't do them.
Right, but you get to feel bad anyway, and the feeling bad becomes your redemption.
So I'm going to blow off God because, you know.
I'm my own God. I make up my own law.
Yeah, because I don't know if he's dead, you know what, because I can't do one of your rules. I'm going to die.
Okay.
Is that why they read them constantly?
I read them constantly.
So that they would know that they were dead every time.
Every time they read.
That's why they were trying to get, coming after Christ on this one too, wasn't it?
Okay, Numbers 15. Well, read, stay in Exodus. Go to Exodus 35, verse 2. Simple declarative sentence.
6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death.
Okay. Let's go to see it one more time. Numbers 15, verse 32. Read through 36.
While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp.
He picked up sticks.
So unfair.
You know, argue with it? Why is that so critical? Why is there more written about the Sabbath than anything else in the Scriptures?
It's the rest of sure Christ there
is. It is the rest of Christ. It is the revelation of Christ. And to violate the revelation of Christ, you're dead meat. Because that's the only reason time and space exist. And if you're going to be under the law, If you're going to play any part of the law game, then you're under that law. It matters not whether you agree with it or not. Nobody cares what you think about it. Now, anybody think they're not guilty of violating and breaking the Sabbath? It doesn't matter if you've done it since you've been a believer. If you've done it once in your life, you're guilty, and you're guilty of the death penalty. Now tell me about your spiritual mush that you believe in. Oh, this is what I think. Is there anybody here that has not broken the Sabbath that does not understand that they deserve the death penalty for it? According to the law? Well, I'll go petition it. We'll change the law. No, you won't. Well, I don't agree with the law. I don't care.
But the law might have been.
Right. We just proved it didn't we? My point to you is you cannot understand the revelation of Jesus Christ until you understand how incredibly guilty you are. We haven't even gotten to the goodies yet. These are just the simple ones.
So before the law was given on Mount Sinai, there already was a law to those generations that existed before it, to God.
Because all the laws always existed from before the foundation of the earth. The law is spiritual. The law is eternal. He tested man. He tested flesh first by innocency. And then what happened? Well, we'll just let them do. We'll let them make up their own laws. What happened?
Well, no, he told them.
The fall happened.
He gave them innocency first, right? And then, but he had the...
The law has always been there.
Yeah,
the law has always been there, but he tested man in innocency first.
He didn't even tell man the fall. Law yet. He didn't tell mankind about the law until Exodus. I mean, it's like you say, God doesn't want someone who do what he says like a robot. If he wants someone who know what he wants and do it without him asking.
That's right.
It's like he tested them that way. Will they know what he's,
and he tested them by, we've gone through all that.
Here's what's scaring me. When you said the law is spiritual, and that means it's eternal, I remembered the thing about if the law were just words or something like that, even today we could write a law, and the thing about the doubling, that which is, and I realized, what is the law? You say it's spiritual, what is it? It's like God used these words, this language thing, to try and give us some picture of whatever it is that the law is, but we already know, we've already studied, we know what the law is. We know why the law is wrapped up in swaddling clothes. I mean, it's God. So what are these things? These things are letting us know what God is like and what we're like. And this is starting to scare me.
Does anybody have any doubts about what I teach, that when you go up and take a thought and mix it and take a little bit of hearing it, that's witchcraft? Do you have any doubts about that? You go up to the mountain, remember in Isaiah 57, and mix the stuff in the cauldrons. Does anybody have any doubts that that's witchcraft?
Yeah,
but until you know that you are the chief of sinners, until you know that your next breath is a gift of God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you will constantly be in a position, because you don't know the law, you'll be in a position where you will always be in a position of complaining about this or that, wanting this or that changed, wanting to do this or that. And that's why the law was read at all these feasts. It was read throughout so that it could be a constant picture so that we can, it's really, it's for freedom. It's for freedom from these stupid laws. It's for freedom from the bondage that you've put yourselves in. Because again, the law has dominion over you as long as a man liveth. Well, then die for freedom, that you might, he might live. Stop believing the snake. This is what the law is for. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the evil one. But from the wilderness, you can't. There's no law in the world. Nobody gives a rat's ass about the law in Egypt. In Egypt, everybody's got their own little rules. Survival of the fittest. Understand that? I mean, anytime you know, people act like they're moral, they're not. Put them to the test and find out how moral they are. You know. I mean, we got the whole idea of, you know, the all of the various codes and oaths that professions take. Well, I mean,
they're supposedly protecting you, but I'm auditing him, and he's paying me.
Well, remember, all Jim Baker's books were audited by who was
Haskins and Sells and something, Deloitte. And
Deloitte.
Else before it became Deloitte, too. No, it was
before Deloitte.
Deloitte and somebody else. Every year they were audited, they were members of ECFA and everything.
So in that verse that we read about, in the example you gave about how you were alive once, and that's so in that alive once, that's what you're talking about, like in the world.
Before I knew the law.
But there's that potential there for.
Well, let's just go to another one. Just a moment. Exodus 12.
What does it mean when you're put under the law?
Well, that's not talking about this law. It's just talking about tutors and governors.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we got to use something else. This law here is called Torah, or Torah. It's spiritual. It's sacred. There's nothing in the universe like it.
It is really cool that if what we're talking about is that this is spiritual, this is eternal, and everyone is born from as long as time existed, everyone is born into it, therefore, in the death sentence, that any life that has ever taken place at any point since time started has been Christ.
Okay. There's only two men in all of history, Adam and Christ. Numbers 9.
Exodus 12.
Did I just say that? Oh yeah, I changed my mind. Exodus 12. Mr. Law, verse 15 through 19.
7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. The seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread, until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel.
Okay, that's it. So if you've ever eaten leaven, anything with leaven in it on Passover, well, I mean, for those few times when we did Passover incorrectly, then you're dead. To cut off there means to destroy. Except when it uses the word cut off versus the use kill, when it uses the word cut off, you're destroyed by the hand of God. When you're killed, then there's the penalties for either the priests or the people have to kill you. That's a general statement. There may be exceptions to it, but if whenever it uses cut off, it means that God's going to kill you.
When we say that everything is perfect, everything has been perfect in our lives, just as everything happens exactly what it was supposed to be. While Mike was reading that, it was like, you know, he was talking about the unleavened, you have to do this, you have to clean that, you have to do 7 days. I mean, the thing about doing this, it's like when I get into that slave mentality, there was like, this has to be done this way, this has to be, you know, I felt like a rush of, that's the place that I get into, like, I can't get all this right, I can't get every crumb, you know, but it's like, you know, I have to, like, get to that point where I see that I can't do that, I can't do the law that I can conceive of. Of course, I don't know God's law.
Yeah, but you have to get to the point where not only can you have to get way beyond that. You have to get to the point where you see that you deserve death. And that every breath is a gift. It has nothing to do with intellectual understanding of it. It's that gut level thing that happens, and it happens to you while you're studying the law. Something will touch you, and all of a sudden you will know far beyond intellect what this is saying. My prayer is that through going through, and we'll spend some time studying these in some detail, I'm just sort of scattershooting, that you will see, and that will instantly stop your complaining forever. It will be the anchor that stops your complaining, because then it's only the resurrection that can have any meaning. Again, it's we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you live as though you're a respecter of persons, or live as though one point of the law was important to you, then you're guilty of the whole law. Now, I can't do the whole law. I can't even meet my own standards, as Crystal was saying. But I cannot meet the law. I know that I'm worthy of death. Therefore, I have abandoned myself and picked up the cross. I have accepted my death. If I'm dead, I don't have a right to complain. If I'm dead, I have no right to be concerned about what I'm going to be doing. Oh, man. Okay, do you all remember what incense means? It's your thoughts, right? Does anybody have any doubts about that, that's what it's talking about? All right, well, let's just then go to Exodus 30, verse 38. It's the perfume. The incense is the perfume, remember? Read verse 38.
Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto.
Well, read it. Well, read. Wait a minute.
Thou shalt beat some of them.
No, go before that. Where it talks about making the holy ointment.
35.
And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacles of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It
it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his feet.
If you can hear this, I want you to understand that any thought, if you've used any thought for yourself, then you are guilty of that prohibition. Can you understand that?
Yeah, it's like what thought haven't you?
Well, I'm just trying to get you to think.
So that we're dead.
So that you see the cross, so that you run to the cross instead of this mush that most of you live in. Spiritual mush is a good word. There's no clarity. So you run around complaining about little shit. And should we look at any more? Got enough to think about? Well, there's let me just sort of run down a few. If you ever try to the making of the holy oil, which is a type of the empowerment process of the Holy Spirit, if you ever use the holy oil for your own self, you're dead. If you ever offer a sacrifice in the wrong place, you're dead. If you ever pick up a stick on the Day of Atonement, you're dead. If you ever in any way neglect the Day of Atonement or Passover, you're dead. If you murmur, you're dead. If you complain, you're dead. Not once he became a child of the law.
This would make you go crazy.
That's why you run for the cross. Now, let's go to Mark 8. First thing. Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will, and it really should say, whosoever wills to come after me, let him deny or abandon himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, the phrase deny himself is, as you've heard a thousand times, it's apodiomai, and it means to take no thought of or about yourself in any dimension or any way. Abandon yourself. That's a summary command in the Greek language. Once and for all time. Pick up your cross is a summary command in the Greek. But the follow me is an interesting tense. It means it's the automatic of abandoning yourself and picking up the cross. You never have to think about it again. Now, the reason you pick up the cross now is because the cross represents the judgment day of Christ. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go to, we're going to hear this one a lot. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, do you understand what our minds do? We see good or bad, and we put our definition of good or bad. This is good or bad according to the law, which is the standard of the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What's your answer going to be? I'm guilty. How then can you neglect so great a salvation? How then can you neglect the resurrection of my Son within you? Think on these things.
The thing that got me is what we studied the other night too, is that when you said, it says that if you're beside yourself and then it is to God, that's only like a law, and it drives you, you know, trying to do that, it's just you, itself.
Well, the purpose of we'll get down to all these things, but if there is not the right scapegoat offered on the Day of Atonement, then the whole of the spiritual world is dead. If there is no ash, if there are no ashes of the red heifer, then we can't even get in there to make the offering. I mean, if you want to live by the law, or any portion of the law, you can't just try to do this stuff. You have to go to Jerusalem. You have to physically construct the temple. You have to find the Ark of the Covenant. You have to find the ashes of the red heifer. You have to find these infinite number of animals that are without blot or spot or blemish. You have to learn how to make all of the sacrifices according to the Talmud. You have to learn how to go into the Holy of Holies, if you can finally get one made, without being killed. You have to learn all of the blessings, all of the kaddishes, all of everything, and do it exactly right, or you will die. Can you see why the cross? Paul said over and over, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I glory in nothing but the cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
So when it said that this book is like a handbook, I mean, it's like rules for living. Those are the kind of rules that it gives for living. I mean, all those laws, that's the way... You know, if you want to talk about how God wants you to live, those are the rules set down.
Yeah.
So indeed, yes it is, but the fact is, you can't.
You can't.
And so the other half there in the red letters part of the Bible, the handbook for living, is you can't do it, so
God can.
You can't do it, but I can.
Right.
That's the whole of the message of the gospel. Yeah. I will it and do it in you. You empty the temple.
I was thinking about how so often we want to hear a law so that we can point the finger and say, well, it's your fault, it's your responsibility. And God's saying, okay, it is my responsibility. Go ahead, point the finger, see me, I've done it. You know, but we won't believe it.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. I won't get you tonight on this one, but I'll just hint, give you a little hint. If you judge your brother down in any way, katakrino is the Greek word, means you're judging down, then it means you are judging the law. Which is really, 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 that has to rank up there among the most stupidest things that one can even consider doing. But the fruit of this, by the revelation of Christ, is unfeigned love of the brethren. No more acting. And freedom. If the Son hath made you free, you're free indeed.
What should I do with the Dallas Morning News? You know,
I
should, you know what I mean? It's just totally ludicrous.
It is.
The Well, so how should I behave at that stoplight when that person cuts me off? What would God say about that?
It's just stupid. It's just asinine. Yeah, I love it. I used to have these guys that tell me how great a teacher Jesus was. But you, what do you mean a great teacher? He's a stupid teacher. No man, you can't come to him unless you hate your mother and father. Well, he didn't really say that. Yes, he did.
All the students got a net. No, it's not. No, it isn't.
Never
time
before.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah, let's go fishing. This is what this great teacher said. He said he would live forever. He said he had an inside view of heaven. He said he thought he was perfect. He said he fulfilled the law. He said he seated all authority in the universe in himself. He seated all power in the universe in himself. He said that his death would redeem the whole world.
Well, that isn't pulling yourself. I don't know what it is.
Tell me about this great teacher.
A lot of people in tarot saying stuff like that.
Well, that's the point. Really. If his resurrection isn't real, then he's a madman. No, it's much more than that. It's a madman. And if his resurrection isn't in you, then it doesn't do you a damn bit of good. And if he isn't sufficient, if he's the king and God of the universe, if he is the one who created all things and all things exist of and by and for him, and if he is resurrected in you, tell me what you're concerned about. And if you know by now that this is the anti, the instead of Christ, who are you going to listen to? If this is the snake and the God of the universe is resurrected in your heart, well, we'll spend more time on the law.
He has to be arrogant.
He's the most humble of all men in the universe. He's the most... He is meeker than Moses was, and it said that Moses was the meekest of all men that have ever lived. Because he emptied himself of everything.
Yeah, I mean, if he was just a man, he would be arrogant.
Well, he emptied himself. That's the point. He said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He never once leaned on his own arm of understanding, but in everything he acknowledged it was God in control of that moment. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but emptied himself and made himself of no reputation, became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross.
He could do that because he was...
Well, he could do it because he had faith. Faith is simply Jesus in you, believing in himself. The more you know of him, the more faith is automatic. Faith and knowledge of him are the same thing.
Yeah, but his chromosomes were from God.
And you've just discredited the mystery of the gospel.
God knows
as he is in this world, so are we.
Remember, I was the one that said, like, the beginning of the...
Oh, here we go.
That was me. The Bible said, well, all life within... I fulfilled the Bible space. It's in him, because since we were everybody that born, died, and
so I think that's where I was thinking also, because I put it like God in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's why he was there again.
He emptied himself. You got to hear this.
Yeah, but he's still in flesh.
He tabernacled. He chose to tabernacle in flesh that he might redeem, buy us back from the slave. He might make unto himself, begotten of himself,
anybody could ever think of writing, you know.
Of himself, by himself, to himself, you know, just like me.
You know, I started wondering, well, what's God doing? He's made us, but we're just containers. We're really his son or the other.
Well, it's just like,
what's he doing with
his son is seated with him on the right hand of God. And it's just like all the time is the place where the bride is being cloned from of himself. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular.
Yeah, but it won't be cloned of himself, it won't be exactly like himself.
No, because it will have gone through, and we must each fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body. Christ. That's why each person's suffering is, and they're resting in the suffering.
I never knew that, though. We're not
going to
be just like, you know.
We're going to be, the female counterpart. We're going to be the bride.
But I
always get stuck on if everything that we experience, no matter who we are, is Christ experienced it. Then how can the bride be different if everything she experiences it is what he experienced, that he's actually experiencing it? So
well, it's the same reason.
She's a living being.
It's the same thing, but the reason that...
Also, since Sable was growing up, and she's seeing me doing the same things that I see, but she's different from me.
Yeah, but it's different. It's more different because it is the female counterpart of the male chromosome.
So cool, because
both of
these
should
have
said
first.
He's waiting for the bride. Yeah. See, it's only that which proceeds from God can return to God. He alone hath immortality, is what the scriptures tell us. So, therefore, he had to make a bride of himself, or God had to do it of himself.
Just like Adam had Eve, part of him.
So Christ was, by Christ coming into the world, almost like it's like time was like this egg.
Yeah.
And so when Christ came in, it's like at that point
thing.
It became a new thing. So
in the egg of Mary.
Right. So that once time and space, and more, that's when we talk about like time and space being like the birthing room.
Right.
And so what will come from that is a bride.
It's neat because it's like I had a witness last night. I was watching that brief moment of time, and some guy was talking, and he said that time was just something that man made up. But it wasn't God's time. And that's time was just something that man conjured up.
Hmm.
It's just like,
it's like the thing that proves that subjectively, and all of us know this, but the older you get, the faster a year goes by. The reason is because your perception of time is uniquely based on your own experience. And so when you're a year old, a month is 1/12 of your existence. It's forever. But when you're 56, a month is insignificant. It goes boom.
So if you're eternal.
The life of time is the observation of it. I mean, if you sit there and watch a clock, time moves a lot slower.
Plus, you change it by watching, by observing it.
So if you're eternal, a man's lifespan is less than a clock's.
Yeah, much less. The glory of man is less than the flowers of the grass.
I know you don't. I know this is probably, the question answer this is a zillion years, but what is grace? It keeps, my head keeps asking this question. What is grace?
Think of it.
Nobody ever.
I want you to search that out yourself. I'll give you the classic definition is unmerited favor.
As I was thinking, is it the fact that I should be obliterated and I'm not? Is that grace? I thought no, that's long suffering.
Grace and mercy are the same thing.
Well, the reason I'm not obliterated is God's long suffering.
You know, the reason you're not obliterated is because of who you contain.
It's not that you're not obliterated, it's all the things that have been given.
And he's waiting for
others. You're not obliterated because you're not even you can't even be this, you can't even be a subject of the sentence. You can't even be in God's consideration unless you have something, you contain something of value.
But other people are obliterated and they contain the seed of Christ.
Yeah, but they haven't been broken to the point where they have acknowledged this mystery. I mean, it's a biggie.
Yeah, as you say that, I realize, I mean, in God's gone through a lot.
That's why it's so vital. I mean, that's why all of the blessings and the cups of sanctification and all that and what we do in the Haggadah at Passover is so vital, because it's like, oh my God, he's chosen us from out of all the peoples of the world